No one.
Welcome to another edition of the Gators Online Show. We've got a big show for you today. I am Keith Lieber of Gators Online. That is senior reporter Zach Albaverde, also of Gators Online. And tomorrow, Thursday, is the start of spring football practice in Gainesville, Florida, for the University of Florida Fighting Gators. And it's a spring practice that I think people are genuinely excited about, and maybe more excited for this spring practice than they have been in Gainesville for a few years. We've got a lot to cover in this show. We're going to talk about our expectations. We're going to have some predictions. And we're also going to have a great interview that Zach did with Bryce Lovett, an offensive lineman for the Florida Gators. But before we unpack all of that, we've got a new show sponsor. So we've got to unpack something else. Zach, take it over.
Absolutely. Well, appreciate everybody for joining us. I know you guys are getting ready for spring ball. Excited to get back out there for the orange and blue game. And what better way to get ready for that than this new box that I got over here. I got it in the mail this week. They sent one to me first. Sorry, Keith. but I think you guys are going to like this. Big Game Football Company, or Football Factory, sent this over. And what I have, ladies and gentlemen, is the pigskin that the Florida Gator football team will be playing with in 2025. This is the ball right here. Pretty sweet, honky.
I think mine got lost in the mail, maybe.
I'm getting one of those.
I don't know how, but I'm getting one. Looks
maybe
good.
The mailman was a Gator fan.
You know, when you're a kid, especially, those are the kinds of things, man. When you get your hands on those things, you go crazy, you know? And as you get older, you still go crazy. You just have to pretend like you're not going crazy because you don't want people to think that that 10-year-old boy is still inside of you. That looks good, Zach. Looks really good.
That's awesome. And I'm going to let you guys know where you can find this at. And definitely really cool treat. And it's at Big Game Football Factory. That's all the information that you guys need to know about it. And I'll let you know a little bit more about this handcrafted ball. Something brand new is taking flight at the Swamp through the 2025 season. Florida fans, this is big. It's the 2025 official Florida Jordan Fly Elite football that has just dropped for the first time ever. Jordan Brand's signature innovation, performance, and swagger are hitting the turf in the Swamp. This is the official game ball of the Gators, and you will see it in action all season long. As Florida builds on its championship legacy, the football is designed for precision, control, and game-changing performance. And here's what makes it special. The signature blue Jumpman and the Gator logos, iconic symbols of innovation and performance, engineered to Florida's QB specs, designed with input and guidance from the Gators coaches and players, colorized blue lace, a visible orange lace reinforcement flap, and angular stitching, handcrafted in the USA by Big Game Football Factory, and every ball comes with a certificate of authenticity. And this isn't just a football. This is a piece of Florida history. It's perfect for true Florida fans to display it or give it as a gift, and you can be among the first to own it. You can snap yours today at biggameusa.com/gators. That's biggameusa.com/gators. You guys can head over there and get one of these incredible balls that Florida will be playing with this season. So make sure you take advantage.
That was a long ad read, but they're paying a lot of money. So we got to make sure that they get the promo. No, it's a really cool product, obviously. But listen, what else is really cool is football's back, Zach. It's been a long couple of months. I mean, the season ended in mid-December when Florida beat Tulane in the Gasparilla Bowl, closing the season with four straight wins. You had the two ranked wins at home consecutively over LSU and Ole Miss. Then Florida went up to Tallahassee and beat the brakes off Florida. So they didn't even really play well that game and still just handled FSU pretty easily. And then obviously they destroyed Tulane in the bowl game. So there's some real off-season momentum. Does that carry into the next season? Each season is its own entity. Zach, you know, you've got new guys, you got guys that left, you know, all that stuff. But we are starting spring practice. Thursday practice begins at 4:50. There will be media availability. So Zach, myself, Corey Bender of Gators Online will be there. But Zach, we're going to talk about just some expectations, some things you're looking forward to seeing. And you got to start with DJ Lagway. you know, a great freshman season, true freshman season. However, when you look at the statistics, we expect him to make a big jump in year two. What are you hearing about his offseason and what the expectations are in Gainesville for DJ Lagway?
Well, I'll say I was fortunate to kind of see it up close and personal when I got a chance to shadow Tramell Jones for the day. If you guys did not see that feature at Gators Online, make sure you go check it out. Look up A Day in the Life, Tramell Jones Jr., a really cool look inside the Florida football program of what it's like for a new player kind of going through everything that they face in a day. And for Tramell, he had a 16-hour schedule the day that I was shadowing him. But I got to see him in the quarterback room with DJ Lagway. And it's interesting to see now that Lagway is basically the lead guy in the room. And he, don't forget, he is still a freshman. Like, he's still in his spring semester, you know, of his freshman year. So I think that it's kind of crazy to see how he switched seats. And he used to be on the other side of the room where Tramell is. Now he's sitting in Graham Mertz's seat. And watching him in the quarterback meeting, Keith, like, he's very dialed in. He knows the playbook. He's very well-versed in the protections and some of the stuff that Ryan O'Hara is throwing at him. And it was pretty impressive to see him kind of his command in there. And then obviously taking that out there to the football field, you know, they installed some new plays in the meeting that I was in. And then they went out there and executed them on the field. So this is the DJ Lagway show. He is 100% running things now. And I do think that, to your point, Keith, they feel like that he can take a next step in 2025 with the experience under his belt from last year and now a full offseason as quarterback one.
You know, Zach, the last couple of seasons, we've gone into these seasons, and you, myself, other people with Gators Online, other websites, fans, tell me about the offensive line, and it was just, oh, God, okay, maybe they'll be okay. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they'll be okay. Well, you go into this season, and I think the feeling, and Zach, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, this is your beat, not mine, but it feels like the feeling in Gainesville is this offensive line unit is going to be a strength of the team,
no doubt,
not a weakness. Is that accurate?
It is. I mean, I did the power rankings for Florida's position groups heading into spring ball. I ranked the offensive line number two, because if you're just going top to bottom, the amount of depth that they have, the guys that they feel good about, and they're too deep, and then obviously the four returning starters that they bring back, there is a lot to like about this group. And for the first time in a while across the board, you can say that it is a strength for the Gators, and it is one of the reasons why they're going to be really good on offense. And, you know, in the past, you've had, you know, Osiris Torrance, Jake Slaughter, guys that you could point to. Now there's multiple guys up front. You know, you see Austin Barber right there, decided to come back for his senior season. You're returning left tackle. You know, you've got your two interior guards, including Damian George, who I think everybody would agree, I think, really show that he's played a lot better inside than he did at tackle. He had some games last year where he graded out really well, and now he's back along with Najee Harris. And then you got Bryce Lovett, who we're going to hear from shortly. He is kind of that next guy up at right tackle. He's played a lot of different positions for Florida. He's played guard. He's even played center at times. But he actually started out his career at UF and played right tackle the majority of his true freshman season. So he returned there in the bowl game, started against Tulane in place of Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon, and he's leaned out this offseason. He's really kind of transformed his body, and he looks more like an offensive tackle. But there's also a lot of other guys there vying for that role. You know, Devin Manuel, the Arkansas transfer, Caden Jones was in the mix for the starting job last year. And then obviously you go on the other side, you got Fletcher Westfall as well. Cam Waits is a guy that can cross train and play both spots. And then Roderick Kearney as well is one of their top offensive linemen. So I can keep going. You know, they got a lot of young guys as well, but their top 7-8 linemen, they feel really good about.
Zach, that running backs room, I mean, you got to give these guys credit, man, because, you know, there's been parts of that Florida roster where you compare them to some other programs in the SEC, and like, I just don't see it, man. Just not at that level yet. But the running backs room, I was in South Florida this past week and covering a big Under Armour camp, and I was speaking with Larry Bluestein, well-known recruiting preps reporter down in South Florida. We were just talking about the Florida running backs room, and we agreed that it's one of the best in the country. It's got to be a top five backfield in the country with largely a bunch of guys that were, yeah, there's some four stars, and but like Jacoby Jackson wasn't a big known commodity, you know what I mean? So like it's just they've done just a hell of a job of evaluating, of recruiting, of developing, and then producing on Saturdays. This running back room, how good is it, Zach? And who are the guys we need? I mean, look, we know who's coming back, Jaden Baugh, Jacoby Jackson. Who could be that third guy? Because the third guy in that Florida offense may get 500 yards, Zach.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's amazing to see kind of how they've built that depth up and how they continue to do it as well. That, you know, they really haven't had a drop-off in recruiting or had it's been difficult to go out and land guys because of the players that they've already gotten to produce. It's just they keep stockpiling talent. And really, I mean, everybody knows that Jaden Baugh is RB1. I think there's no doubt about that. I don't think that Jacoby Jackson necessarily is that far behind him. Like, it, I mean, I think Jaden is clearly the starter, but Jacoby Jackson was not only a surprise player for the Gators last year. Keith, I did my top 20 rankings of the Florida football team, like a power rankings, and I put Jacoby Jackson in my top 10. I put him at number 9, I think, which is crazy how much he has ascended up the ranks of Florida's roster and how he's viewed in the program, and I think certainly by the fan base. So you got a really strong 1-2 punch there. But don't forget that Treyon Webb was the backup running back to Montrell Johnson Jr. ahead of Jaden Baugh, ahead of Jacoby Jackson, before he got hurt last year. So you also have him in that backfield. And then you have KD Daniels, who might be the most electric guy in that room, you know, from a speed elusiveness standpoint. He was someone that the staff really liked, I know, last year, and then he got banged up, worked his way back from injury, and then just got to the point where it didn't make sense to burn his year, so he redshirted. But I know that you had a story at Gators Online, Keith, about guys that could break out for the Gators this year, and I think KD is one of them, especially if Treyon Webb is in any way limited or still not back yet from his season-ending injury. That's going to open the door for KD. And I think whoever ends up being that number three guy, Florida should have a pretty good three-headed monster there at running back.
Well, a couple things. The number three guy last year, I think, was Jacoby Jackson. He had 95 carries.
Yeah.
He had 95 carries. Well, again, the number three guy is going to get a lot of carries. And I think that leads to my second point. Jabbar Jalouk, who obviously I've gotten to know and you've gotten to know, fantastic guy, one of the most popular guys on the team. But also the thing to know about him is he has done an incredible job, and the players too, and Billy Napier too, and Jacob LaFrent, everybody within that program, they have gotten these running backs specifically, we're just talking about this group, but all of them, but this group, to buy in. And then what do we mean by that? Is we use that term a lot, but what does that mean here? It means I don't need to get 200 carries. I'm going to look, the guys around me, they're all good. We're going to split the carries. No egos walk into this room. No egos walk out of this room. We're all going to pull for each other. And it's been great. I mean, look, there was chatter last season that Treyon Webb was going to be gone. Zach, you heard it. I heard it. There was chatter that KD Daniels may not stick around because of the carries. They're not enough to go around. And guess what? Both those guys are back. There's been an incredible amount of buy-in there.
Yeah.
And obviously there's, you know, who knows what the future holds, but give these young guys credit for that. We haven't heard any murmurs of complaints. I mean, it's incredible what they've done. All right, Zach, next up, the receiver room. This is an intriguing one here because you know, they lost some good ones. All right, Shamir DK, great season, transfer from Wisconsin last year. Elijah Badger, the transfer from Arizona State, great season. I think both of them averaged over 18 yards per catch. They go to the NFL Combine, and look at the numbers these guys are producing. Shamir DK, one of the fastest guys. Excellent, excellent players, not easily replaced. But during the offseason, Florida went out and got J. Michael Sturdivant, a coveted tall receiver from UCLA who's got speed, length, can take the top off of defense, could be that big play threat, that deep ball threat that DJ Lagway needed. And nobody throws the deep ball better, according to the statistics, than DJ Lagway. And then you've got Eugene Trey Wilson back from injury. Again, he had 55 catches, I believe, as a true freshman, was injured a good part of last year. You've got other young emerging receivers like Aiden Mizell. Then you got this touted, Zach, I'm doing all the talking. I'm sorry. You got this touted freshman class that I'm all excited about. Dallas Wilson, Vernell Brown, Nayshon Montgomery, Muiz Tancourt, Tell me about this wide receiver group. There is a lot of potential there, man.
Yeah, it's probably going to be one of the most competitive rooms. I think that you can pencil in Trey Wilson and J. Michael Sturdivant as starters. But after that, what that rotation looks like, who's the third, fourth, fifth receiver in that rotation, I think is to be determined. And it might – that order might fluctuate throughout the spring and even into fall camp as guys make plays, as guys make strides, as the freshmen come along. You know, I'll be honest, Keith, like, you know, when this freshman class kind of got finalized, I think everybody just I think also because of the circumstances surrounding his recruitment, how he left Oregon, he was a five-star for the whole cycle. I think everybody was ready to see Dallas Wilson, right? Like, of all the receivers, initially, he was the one that maybe people were most excited about. And then as workouts started happening, as we started hearing some buzz coming out of camp, and I certainly saw the interview that Tyreek Sapp had, and I've said it and reported it at Gators Online, I think there's a lot of excitement about Vernell Brown III, maybe even more so than Dallas initially, just because of the opportunity that he's going to have at that Z position is where we expect him to play and where we expect Eugene Wilson to not be. After he's played the Z the first 2 years, he's expected to move into the slot and take over DK's role. So there's an opportunity there for Vernell Brown at the Z to maybe make more of an immediate impact, and he's really impressed in workouts. But I would also have to say that Nayshon Montgomery, I hear great things about this guy. Yeah. I got to see him do some workouts with Tremel, and I think that he's going to be a factor at the slot as well, you know, with TJ Abrams. So, again, those spots, you know, 3 through 6 on the depth chart and a lot of those backup roles are going to be very competitive. I am excited to see Eugene Wilson, though. He's going to be one of my players to watch on offense at Gators Online. And the reason for that is for a couple things. One, like, he was a very special talent his first year in Gainesville, and then before his hip injury kind of manifested and it ultimately ended up ending his season and requiring surgery. But I think about all that he's shown and all that he's done with this hip condition that he always had and was always something that was there, that was lingering, that was obviously this last year holding him back. Now he's had that repaired and fixed. Like, I can't wait to see what Eugene Wilson looks like without a hip holding him back in this condition that he was born with and had his whole life. Couple that with the guy's gotten absolutely jacked this offseason. Like, the strength coaches rave about the strides that he's made, how thick his neck is, like the shoulder strength that he's added. You know, don't forget he got a collarbone injury against Tennessee his freshman year. Keith, that's not going to happen to Trey Wilson now when you see how this guy looks. So I'm excited to see what he can do now, bulked up, bigger, and finally with a healthy hip.
Well, Zach, this receiver group, and I'll share a little knowledge on these young guys because I covered them all in high school, the new guys coming in. Nayshon Montgomery is a guy that always thought he should – never complained about his ranking, but always thought he should have been ranked higher. He's a big believer in himself. He's a big believer in his abilities. He thinks he's going to play a lot this year, and he's coming into Gainesville. Well, he's already in Gainesville. He's coming into spring practice with that chip on his shoulder because he's not getting as much attention as the other guys. That motivates him. Outstanding young guy, just needs to put on a little weight. Vernell Brown, I went and watched him play last year. Zach, here's what I'll say about him. Great route runner. Got open every single play I saw the entire game. Knows how to find the creases in the defense. That's what you want out of your slot guy. And then Dallas Wilson, we know he's a supremely athletic guy, 6'2" and a half. But what a lot of people may not know about him is that Dallas has had some personal challenges.
Yeah.
In life. Not just, you know, not talking about football. Football's easy for him. Football's kind of his way to get away from some of that stuff. Tragically lost his mother a couple years ago, a very tragic way. And very close with his family. And there's the people around him have always felt like if you can get him out of Tampa, get him into this structured program, he's going to take off. And that's what we wrote a couple weeks ago. Zach, you've written that they have high hopes for him and they believe that he's come in and done well since he got there in January.
Yeah.
And when I wrote it, one of his coaches messaged me and said, hey, great article, believing exactly what I said. Once this guy gets there, he's going to be in a system. He's going to really be able to take off now that he's got the support system around him. So I expect big things from him. And so it's a tremendous group. Zach, we've got an interview with Bryce Lovett. Would you like to go to that now before we talk about the defense?
No, we'll save it for the end.
Save it for the end.
But I do got to add read I'm going to get to real quick.
Oh, well, let's do that.
Let you guys know about Roback as they've extended their campaign into the spring so you guys can continue to take advantage of Roback. And there's only one way to describe it. It's the best fit and the best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they've completely changed the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released so many items with their newly licensed game day collection, and it's awesome. Novel polo designs, clean hoodie and Q-zip designs for some of your favorite schools, including the Florida Gators. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple college football stars, past and present, and becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. You can use the code Gators20 on Roback.com for a generous 20% off all new customers. That's spelled R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com, and you can get 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with the code Gators20.
I love Roback. You know that. In fact, next show, I'll be a little bit more prepared. I've got a Gators t-shirt hoodie that they sent me. It's thicker. It's a pullover type hoodie. It's kind of halfway between a t-shirt and a regular hoodie. I never felt the shirt as comfortable as that. Okay. So I'll bring that on next week. Zach, let's talk defense. Defensive line lost some pretty good ones. You know, Jackson, big player at the zero technique, the nose guard position where you've got to really take on two blocks about every play. Those guys don't get a lot of tackles or sacks because They get offensive linemen hitting them from every direction. He's gone. Big Desmond Watson, who also played that position, is gone. At the edge spot, you've lost Jack Pyburn, who transferred to LSU, and TJ Searcy, who transferred, I believe, to Texas A&M. But you've got a lot of returning players. So we're going to put the edges and the defensive linemen here together. What do you think about this group, Zach? Who are some guys we need to keep an eye on?
Well, you got to be really excited about Caleb Banks. And then I think that you got to be concerned or just – I mean, I don't know what the right adjective is, but like the nose tackle is a question mark. I mean, there's if there is one position that was the biggest concern on the football team, not just on the defense, to me, it's nose tackle. I think that they have the talent there. It's just is it going to be ready in time for the fall? Now, one of those guys is because of an injury, and that's Jamari Lyons, who was killing it in camp last year. From everything that we have been told, he was pushing for playing time. He had surpassed Desmond Watson on the depth chart. He was going to be a guy that was going to play a lot for Florida in its nose tackle rotation. He breaks his ankle in fall training camp, misses the year. We are told that he's still not 100%. I'm not sure what he's going to be able to do in practice. We're going to find out. Like, is he going to be going through some drills and have a non-contact jersey on? Will he not be in any drills? We'll find out, but I do know he's not 100%. So I don't expect him to be available in the spring game. And that's going to create an opportunity for Makai Barrow to basically work as the first team nose tackle. And it's a big opportunity for him. He got a lot of playing time last year. It's clear that he's going to be kind of the next in line. But is he ready to take on a starting role as a sophomore? I mean, that's what we're going to find out. And then really behind him, we don't know what's going to be the depth at nose. Are you going to have DeAndre Robinson play both spots, which I think he can and might need to? Are you counting on Shivers out of the gate, Keith, to provide some depth at nose? I mean, he's your ideal nose. I mean, that's kind of like he's the size that you want, but he's an early enrollee. So I think they'll be fine at N, which is their other defensive line position that Caleb Banks plays. You got Brian Taylor there as probably his primary backup. You've got DeAndre Robinson as well and Jeremiah McLeod, who just joined that room. So
and to Boris Brown, too, that you've mentioned.
No doubt. Right? No, I mean, I I don't want to mention him because he is someone that we are told is also going to be in the rotation. He is a preferred walk-on, but the way that they use him, and I think the way that they're going to count on him, will be in a much bigger role.
Oh, wow. Interesting. You know, speaking of Stefan Shivers, am I pronouncing his first name right? I'm hoping I'm
good. Is it Shivers or Shivers? I don't know.
Shivers. He is a big kid now. I mean, and he's super athletic, and he played basketball as well. So, and not only did he play basketball, Zach, he was a 1,000-point scorer in high school. So this guy's 375 pounds coming in. Now, the question is, physically, size-wise, you know, hey, look, man, a lot of transitions from high school to college are difficult, but nose is really difficult. I mean, quarterback's hard, but nose, I mean, you are getting slammed by a center and often another guy in the same play every play. It's a lot. And that's why they rotate. That's why Watson played so much, because you can't have Cam Jackson out there the whole time. Sometimes I know a lot of times fans, and I'm not trying to act like I've got some great wisdom over fans. Heck, a lot of times they know more than me. But that's why all the best defensive line coaches want to rotate guys. You don't want a guy out there 80 snaps. He'll be dead in the fourth quarter when you need him to make a play to beat FSU, right? That's when you need that guy. And so we'll see, but it's going to be very fascinating to watch all that unfold in the spring to see who's ready and who's maybe not quite ready. I love DeAndre Robinson, though.
And that is a position that they could address in the spring portal, too.
Difficult one. Remember they tried, Zach, I didn't mean to cut you off, but they tried to get Keyshawn Silver from Kentucky out of the portal. And where did he end up at? Southern Cal?
USC, and then they tried to get the Ohio State defensive lineman as well.
And when those guys come in, it's like kind of like an offensive tackle. When those guys enter the portal, it's like throwing a piece of bread out into the lake and all the fish go swarming. Zach, linebacker, man, I'm telling you, a couple years ago, again, like the offensive line, I wasn't too crazy about this position. Now I'm looking at Grayson Howard, Jaden Robinson's back, Miles Graham, a guy that multiple people have told us, watch that guy. He's a superstar. He's going to be an All-American. Aaron Childs, nobody's even talking about. That guy's potential all-conference.
Bryce Lovett talked about him.
Okay.
Stay tuned for that.
So they got some dudes at linebacker now, man. And then you're bringing in Ty Jackson. So I just did all the – I kind of spoiled everything here. But who do you think is going to make the – tell me about the linebacker group. I'll let you just talk.
I mean, it might be the – you know, they don't have the quantity – but boy, do they have the quality. Like, and honestly, I don't know that they could have any more bodies in that room, because that person would just be the odd man out. Like, it's going to be very competitive. I think obviously the Will linebacker spot is one of the biggest position battles for the Gators in spring camp, in fall camp too, probably, because that's the position where Shamar James played, that you're going to have to replace a starter. And I think that it's going to come down to Miles Graham or Jaden Robinson. You know, I think Miles Graham is probably the future there. And he was Miles Graham's backup because Jaden Robinson has played the Will spot in the past. But then when Pup Howard had his season-ending injury, they had Jaden playing the mic. And he started, I think, the last four or five games. So he's played both spots. They're one and the same. But I think we all expect that Pup Howard will continue to lock down that Mike linebacker role. But Aaron Childs is chomping at the bit, and, you know, he is going to be in that rotation. He's going to be playing probably next to Miles Graham a lot as well. I think they're going to want to get those guys on the field. And I think, you know, between those guys right there, those are your top four. But, man, do not count out Ty Jackson. The things that I've heard about that guy, the impact that he's already made in offseason workouts and the weight that he's put on, the strength staff and coaches absolutely love him, and I think he's going to play as a freshman.
He's got kind of that explosion that we saw in Aaron Childs coming out of high school. But, man, Miles Graham, this guy, he has no hole in his game. I covered his final high school game. He went to my alma mater, Gainesville Buchholz. I got to give them a shout-out. Final high school game, he played Lakeland in the state semifinals a couple years ago. Jay Bateman, Florida's linebackers coach at the time, was at that game. He told me, he said, man, this guy is the best linebacker in the country, period. I said, well, come on, he's in Gainesville. He's right down the road. That's so easy to know. He's the best linebacker. Then he said, Ty Jackson's the best for next year. That was a year before people were tracking Ty Jackson. So they identified that guy real early at Florida, and they've always thought Ty Jackson was a dude, and apparently he is. Apparently they were right. Got to give him credit on their evals. Of course, everybody liked Ty Jackson, and everybody liked Miles Graham, who, by the way, Florida had to really hold off Alabama for, Zach. They had to really hold off Alabama to keep Miles Graham in that class, and even though he's a legacy, even though his father's the great running back, Ernest Graham. All right, secondary, some question marks here, Zach. They're a little banged up. They lost some guys last year. And some of those guys may not be ready. So where do things shape up at cornerback and safety right now? Who do you know is maybe not going to be available this spring, and who are some guys that we need to be tracking?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of the biggest storylines of the spring as well, is the injury situation in the secondary. It was a whole storyline last year. The Gators got decimated by injuries in the secondary, and then it's going to carry over into the spring. Obviously, the one that everybody knows about is Aaron Gates, who suffered the season-ending injury at the end of the year. He will be out, although he still will be doing things. I think he'll be in the injury pit and doing some stuff, which is good to see. But then they got a lot of other guys that are banged up. I think DeJon Johnson is either going to be non-contact or not playing. I think Sharif Denson is going to be in that same boat. He's got a kind of a foot issue going on that he had surgery for. I think he'll either be held out or limited to open camp. And then you also got Jameer Grimsley, who he will be out after he had a knee surgery recently. So they're light on DBs because of that. I mean, just going through it now, you've got DeJon Johnson, Jameer Grimsley. That's two corners. You got your top two players at nickel at that star spot, Aaron Gates and Sharif Denson. So they're going to be going down their depth chart. And it's going to create, though, an opportunity for guys like Cormani McClain, who we've heard great things about this offseason, to kind of take advantage of getting a lot of reps at corner. They also added Michael Caraway there. This is a big camp for him as well to kind of define his role in the secondary. And he's kind of a veteran leadership presence that they really like what he's brought to the room, from what I'm told. So, and then, you know, the one position that is, you know, right now, knock on wood, is in a good spot from a depth standpoint. They're not having any guys out because of injuries, is at safety. You bring back both of your returning starters and Jordan Castell and Bryce Lovett, but you also signed two of the best safeties in the country in Laganza Hayward and Stubbs. And you also got Gregory Smith, who redshirted last year, that they really like. I think that Hayward will probably see some time at star, just because, one, he's got the versatility, and two, Florida has the need there. But I don't know if they'll cross-train him. I don't know if they'll try to maybe have him focus on just one position this spring. We'll find out. But and then I'd be remiss if I forgot to mention Ben Hanks III at cornerback. He is a five-star prospect with On3, and he probably will step right in getting backup reps, Keith, because of the injuries at corner.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these true freshmen, guys like Vernell Brown, Ben Hanks III, they have a chance to make an impact on special teams too. These are some really fast dudes that can get after it, that can block kicks. And speaking of special teams, Zach, I'll close this part out for you.
Got to talk about edge now. Don't forget edge room.
Okay. You want to go back? I was kind of going to lump them in with the defensive line. But let's get back to the true edges. What do you see happening there with George Gums returning, but then a couple new faces at the edge position, which is the Jack linebacker spot? Those are guys get after the quarterback. Tell me about that spot.
Yeah, Kofi is the transfer that they added from UMass, and that was a big addition because of losing Jack Pyburn and TJ Searcy. Like, they had to go get somebody. He looks like $1 million. Like, he passes the look test when you see him in person. I think that he probably will step right into the number two role at that Jack linebacker spot. I do think George Gums becomes a starter in 2025. And then you got Tyreek Sapp back at the other edge spot, which is the F position. And then you got Cam James that is right there with him. So that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. I am interested to see, though, how they're going to use LJ McCray and how often they're going to use him and where they're going to play him. He is wearing a new number this season. He's going to be rocking number 11, which is what he had in high school. But he's got the versatility to play – both of those edge spots. He can put his hand in the dirt. He's got the athleticism as a former basketball player to also stand up and play the jack too. And so we'll just see how they fit him in. I'm sure that they're going to have some unique roles and ways to get him on the field, because you have to. You know, it's LJ McCray.
They got the explosive true freshman, Jaden Woods, who they flipped.
Correct.
Too. I mean, like, they've got some dudes. But, again, you did lose some productivity and experience in Pyburn and Searcy. Zach, the specialists, look, you got Trey Smack back. Everybody knows you got a proven commodity there. Excellent placemaker, excellent field goal guy. Handled kickoffs as well. Punter, you lost a really good one. Jeremy Crawshaw, you've replaced him with Tommy Doman, a transfer from Michigan. Statistically, his stats were not, quite frankly, not on par, not at the same level as Crawshaw. Now, there are variables to punting, though. Kicking in the north, he kicked at Michigan. Different kinds of weather, different kinds of objectives. What I can tell you is, and Zach, you know this, is that Joe Houston, special teams coach of Florida, is really excited about him, thinks he's a dude. So there you go.
Yeah.
Zach, I did that one for you. How about that, man? I'll let you.
we still don't. You know, we got to see what the return game looks like. You know, obviously they've had some different guys in that role. You know, Ricky Pearsall obviously was a guy that has done some things in the return game for the Gators. I honestly would like to see Tank Hawkins get some opportunities. I know that he's got to obviously have to earn it. And if they're going to put him back there on punt return, he's got to be very sure-handed. And that's usually they want their guy that's back there. And that's why they put DK back there last year. So, you're not just, having to replace your starting slot receiver with DK. You're also having to replace your punt returner. Who's going to step into that role? We really don't know.
You made a great point. It's who can catch the ball. There's so much trust that you got to have in those guys. But I will tell you, a couple freshmen to maybe watch, true freshmen, early enrollee guys, that both returned kicks for touchdowns last year. Waltez Clark, who's was kind of a jackknife, do-it-all guy at Tampa Plant. He's a big game, big play threat. And then another one is Vernell Brown III.
That's right, baby.
They're a clip. There's going to be no bigger fan of Vernell Brown's than yours the next, we'll say 3 years. I mean,
3-5-2, baby.
Yeah. Hey, I agree. I covered his dad in high school, so it's kind of funny to see. But those are two guys that can return. And I think when you watch Laganza Hayward and Ben Hanks, the third, when you watch their film and you see them, what they did on offense as well as defense, and then sudden change, like on an interception return, you see some of those return traits. So maybe those are two guys to watch in the kickoff and punt return game. Zach, we got to pay more bills. What do you got for us here?
Yeah, I definitely want to encourage everybody to go check out MyPerfectFranchise.net, one of our longtime sponsors with the Gators Online show. And they've got a really, really cool initiative that they are doing this spring in conjunction with baseball season. And they announced it recently on the Gators Online show. And Andy is a big baseball fan. And from his line of work, he's seen firsthand the fantastic traits that baseball players bring to the franchise world. Andy is offering a donation of up to $500 to $1,000 to Florida's Baseball NIL Collective, Florida Victorious. If anyone on this from the Gators Online show and listenership purchases a franchise through MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy thinks that this is a cool opportunity to help Florida's baseball program, and now is the perfect time to contact Andy. His services are 100% free, and he's here to help. If you have any questions about business ownership with franchises, head to MyPerfectFranchise.net to learn more, or you can call or text Andy anytime at 404-973-9901. And he notes the NIL donations will vary based on the size of the deal. And speaking of Florida Victorious, Keith, we got to give them a shout out because they are bringing you our next interview, and that is with Bryce Lovett. Had a really fun conversation with him about his offseason, about what he learned last year, kind of getting some starting experience, and then his goals heading into 2025. We had a fun rapid fire section as well, where he lets us know a little bit about himself. So we're going to get on the other side to bring you guys that interview. Hey, what's up, everybody? We are now joined by Florida offensive lineman Bryce Lovett, who's takes some time out of his busy schedule this spring to join us on the Gators Online show. Bryce, appreciate you coming on, man. How's it going?
Of course. It's going good. You know, just chilling, focusing on football and school, getting it done. How are you?
Absolutely, man. It's about to be real busy for you once the practice starts this week. I know your schedule will get even more swamped. But take us through these last few months since the season ended. What's the offseason been like for you and your teammates?
You know, it's just been like really going hard in the weight room, getting in condition for spring ball and just like getting our bodies right. We call it putting armor on for the season because, you know, like it starts, even though it's just winter conditioning and workouts, it starts now. Like we got to start preparing for the season, putting on muscle to prevent those injuries. But yeah, it's been a lot of hard work, but it's been good. And a lot of the new dudes are buying into the process, so that's good to see. And yeah, I think it's been pretty good so far.
What's been your focus? What have you wanted to do physically, development-wise? Is there anything that the coaches kind of had you focusing on?
Me personally, I've been trying to just cut more fat, put on more muscle. That's something I always put an emphasis on in the offseason. And then coaches just like continue to master my craft and work on my technique across the line at all positions, just putting tools in my toolbox for real.
Are there any numbers that have kind of jumped out so far? Like, have you lost a certain amount of fat or anything that's kind of stuck out?
After the season, we did a body scan. So, like, throughout the season, I think a pretty significant number was I put 12 pounds of muscle on during the season, which is, I mean, I think pretty good because we don't work out as much during the season. Yeah. And we're running and doing more stuff to lose weight. So, I think that was pretty impressive for me to put on 12 pounds of lean muscle during the season. So
that's awesome, man. Before we get into last season, who would you say or has been one of the guys that kind of sets the tone in the weight room?
Say one more time.
Who's been one of the guys that sets the tone in the weight room?
Oh, there's a few
workouts and stuff.
I'm in the earlier group, so I can speak on that. But in my group, I mean, Rod Kearney, AC, Aaron Childs, Miles Graham, I mean, they really set the tone. Their rack is always putting up big weight, you know, doing the form right, getting the technique right. So, yeah, they give me hype and want me to do more.
That's awesome, man. Well, obviously, last year was a big one for you. You know, got to step into a starting role, got to get a lot of different experience. What was that like for you? And was that maybe your expectation going into the year? Like, how did you think it was going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, going into the year, I had obviously expectations to play. Honestly, I wasn't expecting to play that much. I'm extremely blessed while I could. But, yeah, it was a great experience. I mean, I got to play. I played every game, started three. I got reps at, I think, like three different positions in game last year. So that was good bit of experience around the O-line in game. So it was good. Met my expectations plus some for sure.
When you got your first career start, that was the Texas game. What was that week like? Did you know how long did you know going into it that you were going to get the start? And what was your preparation like that week?
So I didn't really know until like the Wednesday or Thursday before that game. So like going into the week, it was just a normal week for me. Like obviously going out there trying to get the starting job, even like, you know what I'm saying, before I knew the guy that wasn't going to play. So it was just a normal week at first. And then like, I think Wednesday or Thursday going into meetings, he was like, yeah, you're going to be our guy this week. So I was like, cool. And then since then, I mean, I'm not going to say I changed tempo because I was going hard since from before that, but
yeah,
just really locked in mentally from there.
That's awesome. And you mentioned, you know, playing different spots. I know that you've always kind of done that since you got to Florida. You had to actually do that in games because you started at guard and you started at tackle. What was it like making that switch in season? Was it seamless? Was it difficult?
Yeah, my coaches do a good job of getting me like reps at pretty much every position in practice. So when it comes to that time in game, I'm pretty prepared.
So you could play center if you needed to.
Yeah, I played center pretty much. I didn't stop getting center reps until like mid-season last year.
Okay.
But like all through spring, off season, I was getting center reps too. Yeah.
What was your expectation coming into Florida? Did you have a position that you thought you might settle in at, or did you know that they were gonna, you know, cross train you?
I mean, I knew I was athletic enough to play multiple positions, but like going into college, like as a young guy, as a mindset, I was like, yeah, they probably don't do that in college. I'm going to stick to one, train at one. So, like, my first freshman year was pretty much all right tackle. I got a little bit of left tackle, but it was pretty much just strictly tackle work, right and left. And then coming out of that first season, I redshirted, and they kind of just started playing around with me, honestly, like, just, like, throwing me at different places in practice, like, seeing what I could do, and then kind of worked. So just kept going after that, working on technique at each position, learning all the plays and all the different calls at each position in the meeting room, just things like that.
What's been the hardest position to learn how to do or play?
Mentally, it's center, but physically, I don't know. Like, there's different, you know, for each position. Like, tackle, you're dealing with smaller guys, but they're faster, so you got to be quicker on your feet. Like, guard, you're dealing with bigger guys, stronger guys, so you got to be more powerful and rooted into the ground. So I would say there's different challenges for each position.
Do you have a preference, or do you like the mindset of maybe one of them? I know when you get in there at guard, man, you get ready to road grade some dudes.
Oh, I don't know if I have a favorite. I kind of like switching around. It's like a challenge, like, especially like during practices, it like kind of keeps you on your feet, you know, not just doing the same thing every day. Like, one day I'll be at guard most of the day, next day I'm at tackle, and maybe I'm at center. But, you know, I don't think I do have a favorite over the positions now.
For sure. Now you mentioned your first year you played a lot of right tackle, and then you got to start there in the bowl game. Mm-hmm. Was that like kind of riding a bike again for you a little bit?
Yeah. It was definitely like going back to my roots, kind of lead me like flashbacks to like freshman year, high school kind of thing. Like, but it felt good to go out there and play on the edge. I liked it.
And then obviously there's an opening there come into this year. Like, how much do you feel like that's kind of helping you, that you've got not only the experience from the bowl game, but also everything you did your first year?
Oh, yeah, definitely helped me. I think it's going to be a big part for me. Like, just having that experience, this practice experience, a little bit of game experience, I think it's going to go a long way for me.
And seeing you recently, man, you look like you've leaned out a little bit. Do you feel like you're more in offensive tackle shape? Like, was that done purposely?
Nah, I don't think it was done purposely. I just think, like, off season they try to like get me down a little bit so that going into the season it's not like a big jump from weights, even though like the most I'll get to is like 330, the lowest I'll get to is like 315, so it's not like a big like range. But I just think towards the off season they kind of just like try to slim me out a little bit.
For sure. Now, dig into your background a little bit. First of all, how long have you been playing in sports, and were you always an offensive lineman, or did you play some other spots back in the day?
Yeah, man, I've been playing football since I was four, starting at flag. So I played 2 years of flag, 4 and 5, and then I started playing tackle around 6. And yeah, it's pretty much always been O-line, D-line. I like in Little League, I always played both ways, O-line, D-line. And then one crazy random year, I played quarterback for a team. I don't know how that happened, but yeah, that was pretty fun. But yeah, it's pretty much always been O-line, D-line.
What year did you play quarterback?
It was definitely Little League. I was like maybe like 9, 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a young one.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, no, it was the best time of my life. It was fun.
How were you at quarterback?
Yeah.
How did you play? Were you a dual threat guy? Were you slinging it all over the yard?
I was still huge. So it was a pretty, I don't want to say crappy team, but it wasn't the best team in the county. So it was me and this other kid named Jalen Clark. Shout out to Jalen. But I was at quarterback and he would be at receiver or running back. And it would either be, you know, I'm taking it up the middle or I'm throwing it to him. So that's pretty much how he went through the season.
Simple game plan.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. When did football become serious for you and you realized, like, man, I can go somewhere playing offensive line?
I think definitely, like, after my freshman year in high school, once we hit, like, COVID, like, going into high school, I don't want to say I fell out of love with the game, but, like, I wasn't as locked in as I probably should have been. Like, kind of just, like, taking it as a sport and not, like, a lifestyle type of thing.
Sure.
But once COVID hit, you know, I didn't really have anything to do, so, like, I started training with my brother every day and fell back in love with the game. And shout out to him, because wouldn't be here right now without him. Shout out Zach. But just training with him and his older buddies that also play football, like Raheem Sanders, he's in the draft or the combine right now, like a bunch of guys. And fell back in love. And then after that, my sophomore year around December, I got my first offer. And I was like, damn, yeah, I could really do this.
Who was your first offer?
Kentucky.
All right. Wow. SEC out of the gate.
Yeah.
Wow. And when was this that the offer came?
That was December of my sophomore year. So I had to be 2020 or 2021. Yeah.
Wow. And then when did Florida enter the mix and yeah. you know, how do they fit into your recruitment?
Florida entered the mix probably like midway through my recruiting process, not too late. They offered me my junior year pretty early on in my junior year. And I came up for a visit. They offered me, like, it's weird because I never wanted to stay in Florida for college. I always told myself, like, I want to get out and experience new things, like go experience some, like, a place with, like, seasons or just, like,
sure,
you know, just experience something new. But then they started, I don't know what happened, man. I just ended up here, and I'm glad I made the decision. But
how do you feel like they maybe won you over or convinced you, hey, I should stay in state, you think?
I think maybe probably, like, their attention to detail with O-line. I mean, we got, like, 4 or 5 O-line coaches right now. When it goes to, like, just on-field training or, like, weight room training, we got Coach Sale, Coach DeCoster. We got a bunch of different resources. Coach Caleb, Coach – we got so many different things and people to go to get better. So I think that's one thing that really sold me.
And I'm sure your folks weren't upset about you staying close to home.
Nah, my mom loved it.
Were you a Gator fan growing up, or did you have a team?
Nah, not really. Honestly, I've never been obviously watched football growing up, but I've never been like a big football guy to have like a favorite team. Like, I always liked Oregon because of their uniforms, but like it wasn't like a performance or like a team thing.
For sure. And then last few things for you, Bryce. You know, you mentioned the O-line development. Who's the coach that you work with the most, and maybe some guys off the field that we don't know about, and how much you feel like they've helped elevate your game since you've been here?
As a tackle, or like since offseason started on, and I've been getting a little bit more tackle work, I would definitely say like Coach DeCoster and Coach Caleb. Yeah. Coach Caleb's kind of just like everybody's guy. Like, you want to get some extra work, you just go call Coach Caleb. He'll go down there and work with you. He's kind of just like for everybody, but I feel like he low key specializes in tackle. So like Coach DeCoster and Coach Caleb are like my main go to guys.
That's awesome. And how do you feel like they've helped elevate your game since they've got their hands on you?
Both of them are crazy technicians. They're just perfectionists on like technique, and that's what you really like. When you get to college, like everybody's talented, so it comes down to technique, especially in trench play. Right. Like, so that's a big thing. Like, they're not going to let you bullshit. Like, if something's messed up, they're going to tell you. They want it to be perfect, and I think that's really important, really good for me.
That's awesome, man. And then obviously this interview is being brought to you by Florida Victorious. I know you've done a lot of work with them in the community. You get to interact with fans as well. Like, what's been your favorite part about Florida Victorious and everything you get to do with them?
Nah, yeah, I love it. Obviously, we do an event every month. I've been really into the Ronald McDonald House. I go there and I cook for the families there. I've been doing that a lot. I just recently tried Made for More, where we go and talk to some kids that are like maybe going through some stuff or just having a hard time. And I like that too. But yeah, I just like being able to get out and like talk to people that support us and that we don't usually get to see, or like they don't usually get to encounter us. And it gives them an opportunity to kind of like, you know, see who they've been watching on the TV.
Yeah.
No in real doubt. Life.
No doubt. And then like we mentioned at the start, spring ball starting this week, what's kind of your mindset going into practice and what do you want to get accomplished in camp?
My mindset is pretty much just go secure the starting spot. Like, I know in my mind I can go do it. I'm in the position to go do it. I just got to go do it. So my mindset is just go block out all the noise and do what I got to do.
And then I saw an interview with DJ Lagway on RG3's podcast. I don't know if you caught it, but he got asked the position group that he's most excited about. Oh, yeah. And he said the offensive line. Do you agree with that? And what do you think this group can do in 2025?
Just based off last year, like, I mean, we're only losing one guy. Shout out Brandon. I'm going to miss him. But we're only losing one guy. We got everybody coming back pretty much, plus some new additions in the 25 or 26 class. I don't know who the class is. But I'm excited, man. Like, just the bond in the room. Like, since I got here, at first it wasn't as tight-knit of a room, but from then to now, it's like night and day, dude. We're locked in. Everybody likes each other. We're always hanging out. Like, I'm excited. This chemistry and talent alone, that's going to be – it's going to be amazing.
Are y'all the best position room on the team?
I'm not going to say nothing too soon, but in my opinion, yes.
All right, man. Well, hey, before we get you out here, I'm going to ask you some rapid-fire questions. Nothing too crazy to think of. You know, just some fun stuff for people to get to know you. All right, it's pregame. It's getting ready to start. What are you listening to in the locker room? Or who?
Some like heavy hardcore rock music, like something that's gonna like make me want to run through a wall. Like one song I can think of right now is like, it's called, I use it on my highlight tape. It's called Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. It just makes you feel like a maniac. Like, I don't know. It gets me hyped. So I like hardcore rock music.
I love it. That's what you want out of your offensive lineman.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to do in Gainesville outside of school and football?
Hang out with my friends, like just chill. There's really not much to do. We just kind of like hang out. We do like O-line dinners and stuff. Just like pretty much hang out and bond. I like to fish, so I go fishing sometimes.
All right. What you catching?
I'm a big saltwater guy. Where I'm from is like on saltwater, so it's not much around here. But like I just go out and catch a few bass if I get bored every once in a while.
Yeah. If you need to sneak away, you can go to Cedar Key. It's close enough. Now, on that note about the dinners, where's your favorite place to eat in Gainesville?
Man, there's this food truck called Exclusive Eats. It's really good.
Okay.
Other than that, they got some good burger spots like Relish. This place called Cast Iron. I like Cast Iron.
Okay. But that's awesome. You just informed me about a food truck. I got to go try that out.
Exclusive. Exclusive.
Okay. That's awesome. You guys got a plug from Bryce.
Yeah.
What do you miss most about Rockledge, Florida?
Probably like the beach and the salt water, just being able to go catch like the fish I want to catch when I want to. Probably the water, yeah.
And did you grow up there your whole life, or did you move there?
I grew up in Melbourne, which is like 30 minutes south, 25 minutes south of that, but yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. How often do you get to go back home?
Whenever I want, really. It's only a 2.5-hour drive. I can go back every weekend if I want, but whenever we get breaks, usually not that long apart, they try to take care of us a little bit.
That's awesome. If you could travel anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
Italy. And I'm actually going to Italy in May. And it's because my family's Italian. I've always wanted to go back and see like where they originated from. And it's like, it's Italy. Like the shopping, the food, everything just sounds amazing.
Let's go. That's awesome. Yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah. Shout out Gatormade. They're taking me. So, yeah.
Yeah. Have you done one of their trips before?
Yeah. I went to Tampa with them. But I haven't did like a big trick with them. I went to Orlando, did something at Disney, and then I went to Tampa with them for like a business summit.
Okay. Do you know what you want to do most in Italy or see the most?
Definitely like the historical part, like part of it. Like we're gonna go to the Colosseum and stuff like that. Go to Rome and stuff. Like I'm excited to see all like the history part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that's definitely on my bucket list as well. Yeah. If you weren't a football player, what kind of D1 athlete would you be?
I would say, man, I always wanted to play baseball. I feel like I could be a baseball player.
All right. Did you ever play?
Nah, never did. I always wanted to though.
Okay. Would you think you'd be pitching?
Pitching or designated hitter? I'm
okay. Just the slugger on the team.
Yeah.
All right. When your playing days are over, what do you want to do with your life after football?
Definitely want to stay in the business or in the sports world. Maybe on like, I don't know if I want to be like a coach or something or like get in the business side, but I know I want to stay in the sports world. I mean, I ain't play since I was 4 just to be done when I'm done. I'm going to be a part of it my whole life in some way, shape, or form. So,
sure. Yeah. And maybe your degree too can kind of set you up with some with that. Who is the funniest player on the team?
Sebastian Scott.
Okay.
He's hilarious.
What gives him that title?
He's just naturally. He's not even. He doesn't try to be funny. He's just a naturally funny dude.
That's awesome. Shout out to Sebastian. Yeah. Who is the funniest coach on the team? On the staff, should I say?
Oh, there's a few. Coach DeCoster is pretty hilarious. Coach Chapman, he's pretty funny. Other than that. Man, I would say one of those two, Coach DeCoster, Coach Chapman.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then last but not least, your favorite part of being a Florida Gator and why?
Just the culture, honestly. I mean, like the fans, they're ride or die. I mean, like the students, they show love. Like, I don't know. I talk to some friends that go to other schools and they're just like the students aren't as like bought into like the football program and like they don't go to all the games and stuff like that. I just love the culture around here. It's like everything's about Gators, not even just Gator football, it's Gators everything.
Yep, that's spoken like a true Florida Gator. Well, Bryce, it's been great to visit with you, man. We appreciate the time and the stories as well. And good luck this spring, not only juggling football, but finishing out your semester as well, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
We're going to get out of here, and then Keith and I will be back next week, right, to let them know how the first week of camp went. We'll see how the tournament is shaping up for the Gators as they get ready for March Madness. And then, obviously, we know that recruiting is going to get busy with guys coming to visit for spring practices. And then we'll join you guys next week on the other side. For Keith Niebuhr, I'm Zach Alberti.